Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you've missed any of my talk radio breakfast show, don't worry. We've put some of the punchiest bits of this morning's show into a bite-sized podcast, the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. Enjoy.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio. Talk Radio. Julia Hartley Brewer at breakfast on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. This is Talk Radio Breakfast with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Thank you very much indeed for your company. Of course, the main story today is that a new lockdown from midnight last night across large swathes of northern England affecting Greater Manchester, West Yorkshire and Lancashire. Well, let's talk about that right now with Health Secretary Matt Hancock. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. OK, tell us first why you felt it was necessary to ban households from meeting with each other indoors, anywhere, in homes, pubs, restaurants, anywhere at all, as of midnight last night in these parts of the country.
Well, Julia, we've been tracking what's been happening across the country and...
Oh, we've got a few problems with that phone line, as you can hear.
Mr.
Hancock, just one second. You just cut out for a moment, but if we could try again, that'd be very grateful.
So we've been tracking the virus across the country, and the thing that we've discovered is that particularly in these areas, the transmission, the number of people who are catching the virus from meeting people in their own home, meeting friends and relatives, is higher, and unfortunately the number of cases is going up. And so we needed to take this action. We made it as targeted as possible. I appreciate it's across large parts of northern England. But we made it targeted on this because this is where the evidence shows that the virus is spreading from households getting together. And you know, it's one of the things that we love to do. And people, understandably, you know, it's this sort of social contact that makes life worth living, but unfortunately it's also what the virus thrives off.
Okay, when did you first become aware that there was this issue and that you were seeing a rising trend in infections? Because a lot of criticism, not necessarily of the decision to introduce a lockdown, but to do it in a tweet at about 9:15 on a Thursday night, just hours before it came into force at midnight.
Well, I don't think there's been... I think people understand that we have to move rapidly.
So when how soon between you knowing that there was a problem and you actually announcing this? What was the time frame?
Well, we track this information all the time, and we've been working with the local authorities to try to control this in a more local way for several weeks now. But it became clear that this wasn't working and we needed to take action. And we do sometimes, I'm afraid, have to take rapid action. And I think people understand that.
I don't know. I think people do understand that. But I'm asking, you chaired a meeting yesterday with the local Action Gold Committee, looking at the latest data showing this increasing rate of transmission. So although it's still low compared with what we've seen in recent months, the direction of travel is concerning. I think people understand that, acting quickly. But what time did you finish that meeting, having agreed you were going to have to introduce this local lockdown? And how many hours was that before you actually announced it on Twitter at 9:15 at night?
Well, as a matter of fact, I made it clear in a public statement that I gave. And of course, we communicate using all the modern tools. So, what matters is how do you get the message as quickly as possible to the people affected.
Okay.
We took the decision during the day. We had a series of discussions about it. I spoke to Andy Burnham, the mayor of Greater Manchester, And you know, we've been working with the local councils as well to make sure that we take the action. So you know,
so wait a
the
so meeting, Andy the formal, Burnham's, yeah, sorry,
the formal
meeting,
was in the afternoon, and then we took the decision and made it public as quickly as possible. But you know, I think the thing is, Julia, people appreciate that we sometimes need to move fast in response to this virus.
I think people in saying in this case not fast enough in terms of getting the announcement out there. People wouldn't have seen the announcement last night. People have got lives, spending their time with their families. They'll wake up today and simply won't know the rules. But it's been quite a lot of criticism. One criticism from Marie Leconte saying, if anything, I'd say the rules on the new localised lockdown are a bit too clear. Next time, Matt Hancock should slip the announcement in 5 chocolate bars across different newsagents in the town he wants to lock up. I mean, there is a lot of confusion. We already know a poll yesterday that only 45% of people are understanding current lockdown rules, and only 14% have a full understanding of exactly what they are. This is going to make it even harder for people, isn't it?
Well, no, because the rules in Greater Manchester, in East Lancashire, and in the West Yorkshire, other than in outside of Leeds, are really clear, which is that people can't congregate in other people's homes or gardens, and shouldn't go to, you know, they can go to the pub, to hospitality, but shouldn't do that with members of with people from other households. It's really clear. I'm really glad that the vast majority of people not only understand but are following the social distancing rules. And what we've seen throughout the crisis is people following the rules when we set them out. And you know, that's the we move fast, and we have to sometimes. That's the nature of the virus. And then we're as clear as we possibly can be with the communications, and that's okay. Exactly what's happened this time.
Is there a big elephant in the room that people are tiptoeing around and needs to actually be said out loud, that we're looking at? You know, look, we had that extra lockdown in Leicester, we've seen problems in Luton, we're seeing it in Bradford, large numbers, a lot of the areas that you're talking about which are being affected by this, 4.5 million people have large Asian populations. Now we're entering, you know, Eid celebrations today, many Muslim families will be wanting to meet up today, big concerns about three generational families living together, large extended families meeting up in homes where there's a high risk of transmission. Is it the case that you are particularly concerned about Eid festival celebrations today, and that was why it had to be brought in so soon? Is there also a particular concern that certain communities, particular Asian communities around the country, are not obeying the lockdown or are more affected by the virus because they often do live in larger three-generational families where there are more people are at risk in any one household? Isn't this something that we need to address, and we need to address in plain English? And also a concern that there are many communities where English isn't a first language, they're not watching mainstream media, people simply aren't aware of and not obeying the lockdown rules at all.
Well, we are putting a lot of communications in all the languages that people live their lives in, and that is a really important part of making sure we get the message across. And my heart goes out to the Muslim community, because you know, with Eid celebrations this evening, clearly this is going to have a very big impact on those affected. And we've been working with the imams and with the other religious leaders across the country to have COVID secure ways of celebrating Eid this evening, but unfortunately, you know, people are not going to be able to you know, households are not going to be able to meet indoors. But we have left the exemption, because we know outdoors is much safer. We have left the exemption that people, two households, can meet in a public outdoor space like a park, so long as they're socially distanced. Okay. But rule's there for all of us.
But well, exactly. And these rules do affect all of us, and they're about keeping us all safe. But we do know that people in ethnic minorities have been at higher risk of dying of this disease. We don't know whether it's demographics, socioeconomic reasons, the jobs they do, health risks of diabetes, from et cetera, et cetera. Is it a simple coincidence that the places that have been named to be that affected by this extra lockdown have large Asian populations? Is that a coincidence? Or is there a particular issue where some populations in this country have not been, for whatever reason, obeying the lockdown enough to keep themselves and everyone else safe?
Yeah, well, it is. Look, I think the way I'd put it is this, that the virus spreads from human to human, no matter what community you're from, and it spreads when people are close, and so everybody needs to follow the rules, which are there for good reason. And we've got it, and so it doesn't, you know, whatever language you speak, we've got to get the message to people that social distancing is incredibly important. Okay. To slow the spread
again,
of the virus.
You're tiptoeing around this. The tiptoeing around, I know people are doing it for politically correct reasons and for good reasons, but this is about saving people's lives. If it is the case, and I don't know whether it's the case, I'm not the health secretary, I'm not an expert in this, I'm simply asking the questions. If it is the case that there are certain communities in this country who are not obeying the lockdown for whatever reason, whether they don't know about the lockdown rules because of language issues, whether they're living in sort of, you know, parallel communities, whatever the reason is, they're having to live in three generational households due to sort of just demographic circumstances. Do we not have a duty of care to speak in plain English and say, look, you know, some people are not obeying the lockdown. You in particular need to obey the lockdown. You're putting yourself and your families at risk.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing is, it's not quite as simple as that, because there are different groups who are adversely affected. Yeah. And we've got to make sure we communicate well with all of them in the way that they receive the message, if you see what I mean. It's no good just me saying it. It's how people hear it. But it's not just about ethnic minority communities. For instance, we've seen a significant problem with migrant workers from Eastern Europe who work in food factories or in agriculture, you know, food picking. So it isn't as simple as the way that you put it, but it is a fact. What I will say is it is really important that we get the message out to everybody, and it is harder to get some of those communications across, which means we need to work harder to get the messages across from people who are trusted in languages that people live their lives.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, Talk Radio.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
Andy Burnham, who kindly joins us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. We spoke to the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, a little bit earlier on the show. He said he had spoken to you earlier in the day. When were you first aware that we were going to look at these further restrictions and social distancing for people across the north of England?
It was about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon when the Health Secretary called me. To be honest, Julia, you know, we'd seen the data ourselves the day before. So I'd been one of those people arguing for more data over recent weeks, and the government finally had given us that. So I could see the same thing that they could see. And what I could see was rises in 9 out of the 10 Greater Manchester boroughs over the space of a few days. And it was that general spread of the virus that made me conclude, and of course the government conclude, that something was needed to reverse that trend.
And that rise in the number of infections that were positive, that was happening only in recent days. It's not been a very slow rise. It's just been very recently.
Yeah, that's the thing that really jumps out from this. So this time last week, I got data for all 10 Greater Manchester boroughs. 9 out of 10 had a falling rate of cases. Today, that picture is completely reversed. 9 out of 10 have a rising rate of cases. And I think this is what people need to bear in mind, you know, when they're thinking about, well, why is this being announced late on a Thursday night and it's all confusing? And I do understand that, by the way. But the virus can change so quickly in a heartbeat. You know, you can see a rise that takes off. And I'm afraid that's what we've seen in some of our boroughs in the last few days. Hence the need for decisive action.
Okay, now you've seen it across the board, you're saying in Manchester, but a lot of people are pointing out that in many of the other cities and towns that are affected, it's the increase has largely been, and we've seen this in Leicester as well, and again also in Blackburn, where we had more restrictions last Friday. A lot of this is in the Southeast Asian communities who are living often in much more cramped conditions, crowded conditions, often three generations in a household. That's very typically the norm, far more so even ethnic minority households than white households in this country. Is it your concern that we have in the messaging about the lockdown and how people should be behaving and social distancing, hand washing and masks, that the full message has not got through to every community in the same way?
I think there is an issue with people getting fatigue, I think, isn't there, from the whole situation. And I understand that. Everyone understands that. And certainly there has been an issue with parts of the Asian community around spread of the virus in the type of housing, Julia, that you describe. And this time last week, we had isolated hotspots in some of those communities in Rochdale particularly, but in Oldham as well. The change this week is that we've seen rises in other communities. So Altrincham, a very different community in the south of Greater Manchester. And I think that is the kind of change on the ground that has led to this move by the government today. So, yeah, I think it's tough for everybody, isn't it? But perhaps a feeling had started to get established that this was over, we kind of could return to normal. I don't think we've fully woken up in this country yet to the reality of living with COVID. This is going to change our lives for, I would say, the next year. We're not the first to have measures like this, Julia. We will not be the last. This is going to become, I think, a regular occurrence and something we're going to have to get used to.
And do you applaud the government for taking this decision? Look, there's quite a lot of criticism of how it was announced. You know, 9:15 on Twitter, messages coming into force at midnight. A lot of people would have woken up this morning completely unaware of the new rules with their plans, particularly Muslim families planning to celebrate Eid today with their family members at home or in communal places, but no longer allowed to do so other than at the mosque under social distancing rules. Other than the actual messaging of that, do you actually welcome decision? Do you think this is a decision taken at the right time and at the right level?
Well, throughout this crisis, Julia, I've been on your programme calling for a strong public health approach. So yes, when presented with evidence of widespread transmission, decisive action is required. And I supported the health secretary on that basis. I do have concerns about the announcement being made and the detail not being provided until very late last night. And I think that is something the government needs to correct. Because when you make an announcement like this that affects millions of people's lives, you do have to give them specific answers to the questions that they have. But let's leave that to one side. You know, there's no point me coming on and sort of pretending that I'm nitpicking with the government's announcement. I support what they're saying today.
And just finally,
I would ask people to follow it.
Just finally, how long do you think people are going to have to be facing these rules?
Well, do you know, I don't think that this need be something that is in place for a long time. So,
couple of weeks?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's dangerous to make those kind of predictions. But, you know, I was describing to you a moment ago, Julia, how quickly the position changed from what we had last week to what we've got this week. So equally, it could change very quickly the other way again if people follow the rules. And I've agreed with the health secretary that this will be reviewed weekly. And I will certainly be pressing for the removal of these restrictions at the earliest opportunity. What this is being done for, though, is let's just keep this in mind, is accepting this now so that we don't have to face a much tougher lockdown later down the line as a result of a failure to act. Okay. And that is the prize that we're after here, Julia. We do not want a local lockdown in Greater Manchester. This is a modest change that we're asking for from people now to prevent something much worse later down the line.
Andy Burnham, Mayor of Greater Manchester, thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
Across the UK, online, on DAB and on your smart speaker, Talk Radio.
Right now, though, let's talk to Lucy Powell. She's Shadow Business and Consumer Affairs Minister, but she's also Labour MP for Manchester Central. Good morning to you, Lucy.
Good morning.
Let's talk, first of all, if we can, about this local lockdown affecting, of course, your constituents across the board, not able to meet this weekend, and who knows for how many days, weeks ahead with other households indoors at all. Do you welcome those restrictions? Do you think they are government's right to bring those in?
Well, look, I support anything that will keep this virus under control and save lives. But I do have some serious concerns about how this decision has been taken and how it's been communicated, because what is really important here is that we have transparency so that everybody understands why decisions are being taken, so that they then are more likely to adhere to them, that then we have clear actions that follow, so everybody knows what's expected of them. And there are many, many, many questions that I've been inundated with overnight, which I'm unable to answer. And people need to feel that things are proportionate and fair. And I'm not sure that we've met those criteria with this today. I mean, I was quite blindsided by it, because I follow the data very, very closely. I was on a briefing call. It was a briefing call yesterday for members of parliament yesterday morning. There was no sense whatsoever that this was imminent or necessary. And then, you know, we get this announcement very late at night for new measures coming in at midnight, and no one's really around to answer the questions.
Did you find out on Twitter as well? We know Andy Burnham, the Greater Manchester Mayor, was at a meeting earlier in the day with Matt Hancock. He spoke to him earlier in the day, as the Health Secretary has just told us, but they didn't bother informing local MPs.
No, I found out like everybody else.
Quite extraordinary.
It is. And, you know, it's frankly not good enough. And it, as you said, it does cover a large number of people. I think my understanding is that this was a precautionary step. It was supposed to be quite a modest step about discouraging people from going into other households and gathering in other households. But then as the guidance has emerged, that the guidance has been more widespread than that and more strict than that and covering lots of areas. And as I say, I've been inundated with calls around, you know, can people, what does this mean for people going on holiday? Yeah. What does it mean for planned weddings this weekend that were allowed, you know, visiting elderly relatives elsewhere outside the area, returning to the office that people have been encouraged. I mean, just hundreds of questions that I think, you know, are still unable to be answered. And I think, you know, if we had a very world-beating, as we were promised, track and trace system, you know, we would have a much clearer idea of exactly where and how transmission is occurring, and we could be much more localised in the action that followed.
Yeah, but the thing is, we do have a darn good idea of where transmission is happening. We know it's happening in homes, and we know it's happening where people are not obeying the lockdown rules. As I've just been saying in my opener, and as I've been talking about with Matt Hancock, the Health Secretary, do we need to be a little bit more open and give express instructions and appeals to particularly the Asian populations who are specifically at risk because of often living in these multi-generation households? So it means, you know, young people might well go out and about and live their life freely and break the rules, but aren't at risk themselves. But if they're not seeing elderly grandparents in the next few weeks, then perhaps they're not putting them at risk. But if they're living in a home with elderly grandparents, they are putting those people at risk. And there are large extended families meeting up regularly, particularly, of course, with Eid today. We are talking about a massive risk for a large proportion of the population here. Should we not be a little bit more honest about this and make sure that that information is getting to the people who need it most?
Well, I think we do. And I think that's why I say transparency. I mean, I don't know the data, so I can't pinpoint for you where and how that is happening. So we really do need much more transparency about that data, you know, in real time, so that people can understand where things are happening and why. So, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was sort of clearer that certain workplaces were the root cause of some transmissions.
Certain workplaces, sweatshops being, you know, mm-hmm. being run by, you know, local business people, involving an awful lot of people being exploited, the local Asian population. But again, everyone keeps saying
not just that. I mean, there were food, food processing plants in Anglesey. Yeah. You know, I mean, certain confined workspaces, yes, where social distancing wasn't being adhered to, clearly. But as I say, you know, I knew there was an issue in Oldham that's been well known for some time. There was a briefing call yesterday. This was not flagged. So I can't be sure about that. What I do know is that there are more sort of young people seem to be getting it. So we've got to have transparency so people understand, and then they're more likely to comply if those messages are clear, understood, shared by everybody, so that we're all out on the radio saying the same thing for the same reasons with clear instructions that then people can follow, and then you get compliance. I think when you have this sort of confusion, you don't get it.
OK, well, let's also talk about what your party leader, Keir Starmer, who has been very critical of these measures last night on Twitter, is doing today. He's officially launching what your party is calling the Jobs, Jobs, Job campaign today on a visit to a company in Peterborough. What is this campaign? Well, apart from the obvious, what is this campaign aiming to do?
Well, look, I mean, as we've just been talking about, you know, when new restrictions come into place, or some of the existing restrictions are still in place, this can have a devastating impact on people's livelihoods and jobs and businesses. We've got the furlough scheme tomorrow now starting to be wound down. So employers are having to start to contribute to the furlough scheme from tomorrow. And we know that nearly one in five people who were originally furloughed are still on furlough. So that's nearly 2 million workers. And the estimates of the levels of unemployment by the end of the year, if we don't see further action to save jobs, could be as high as 10 or 12% of the population. These are unprecedented levels of unemployment. So we're calling on the government to do more now to save the jobs of today now. We need more flexibility and an extension of the furlough scheme, especially for certain sectors adversely affected or for areas that are seeing new restrictions like we've seen here in Greater Manchester overnight. And we need some more sector-specific support for those industries most acutely affected. For, you know, frankly, for restaurants in Manchester waking up this morning to hundreds of phone calls of cancellations, the meal deal offer that starts on Monday is going to be no good whatsoever. So we need more sector-specific support to save these jobs.
Online, on DAB and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.